You are listening to CEO Minutes, brought to you by Offutt Kerman, attorneys at law, your perfect legal partner.
I'm Mike Mercurio, and I'm a principal with the law firm Offutt Kerman. Today I have with me Kevin Gooch. Kevin, can you further introduce yourself and your company?
Certainly. I'm Kevin Gooch. I'm the CEO of Bay First, and we are a government consulting firm focusing primarily on homeland security and defense programs.
I'd like to take you back to your childhood. I find that learning about someone's childhood gives a lot of insight into where they are and who they are today. Tell us where you grew up and what do you attribute to your entrepreneurial spirit?
My father was in the military, so I grew up moving around quite a bit. And I think that made me very accustomed to change. And I think being a change agent and adapting quickly to the changing environment, the changing government forces that we have around the world has made me a better businessman and helped me focus on the strategy of our company.
Most people don't embrace change. You embrace change?
I find change to be fun, actually. If things aren't changing, I think it's boring and it gets stale, and then it ceases to be productive, in my opinion.
Tell us a little about your early years in business, how you got to chemical engineering, your love for tech. I understand you have an interest in tech.
Sure. Yeah. In high school, I really liked math and science, particularly chemistry. And then I went to apply to Vanderbilt, got accepted, and wanted to do engineering. Thought about biomedical, thought about environmental. I found out chemical was the hardest major at the time at Vanderbilt, and I signed up for that. So I don't know, call me crazy, call me trying to prove something, I don't know, but that's the reason I did it. By the time I graduated, I was ready to throw away my HP calculator and never work an equation again. I did not want to be climbing distillation towers and working calculations, but I decided consulting probably made sense, which is why I started looking at consulting firms and got a job with one of the large government contractors in the DC area. And they hired me into the counterterrorism practice. So that's how I got into counterterrorism and chemical and biological defense.
So you started your career, and I know you have had a long-standing career with this large management consulting firm. What did you find most rewarding? What did you find most challenging?
I think most rewarding is the teamwork that comes with consulting. And in most consulting projects, you work as a team on everything. And I think the diversity of the background of the team brings better solutions to clients, ultimately.
You know, I know you were there at this large consulting firm for quite some time. In fact, you worked your way up the chain of command to a principal level.
Right.
Which, you know, from any measure of success, you'd deem very successful. So I know that you're no longer with that consulting firm. Why the change?
Certainly, yeah. I was there for 17 years, and it was a wonderful career. Loved it. Learned a lot there. Things had changed. They became public, and you know, I think that change caused a little bit of a culture shift. And you know, our values didn't align perfectly as they had before. And the time was right to move to a smaller firm. I knew both of the founders of Bay First, and you know, we had talked about could we work something out at various points in the past. And with the timing was right, the values weren't quite aligning with the larger consulting firm, and I had lunch with one of the founding partners at Bay First, and the rest is history.
Timing being important, and usually is a major consideration, right place, right time. But moving from a large national consulting firm where you're a principal to a smaller firm, Bay First, big risk. Are you a risky guy? What do you attribute your risk-taking to?
You know, I do find it somewhat fun. It's a challenge. I needed a new challenge. Going to a smaller company, you can have more impact and control the future and your destination a bit more. And that's what I found intriguing. You know, Bay First was about 50 people when I joined, and 3 years later, we're at 200. So it's been a very fun and prosperous ride so far.
But that being said, there are a lot of small companies in the greater Baltimore, Washington, D.C. metropolitan area, but you selected Bay First. What's unique about Bay First? Why did you see yourself fitting in so well?
Bay First, the core values of Bay First fit with my personal core values. Integrity is extremely important. It's the foundation of our company. And also diversity. Diversity of thought, hiring the smartest, brightest, best people we can. That's what Bay First is really about.
When you came into Bay First, I know you came into a relatively senior level employee, but you quickly transitioned to CEO. Tell us about that transition and how you made that successful.
Certainly, I was hired in as a vice president, leading a portion of our Homeland Security account and our Veterans Affairs account. Excuse me. And then within a year, one of the founding partners was moving toward retirement, and the two partners decided to promote me to CEO to run the company.
So you become CEO of the company. You're not an owner, I understand, at that point in time. And you nonetheless are charged with running this large operation. How did you build that culture? How did you consensus build? How did you bridge the gap?
Absolutely. I knew the culture was good. The culture was good. There was a diamond there, and it just needed to be exploited a little bit more. So I focused my role on just what you said, consensus building. It wasn't I'm the new CEO and, you know, thrash and burn, hire, fire. That's not my style. It was more, we have some really good people here. Let's align them slightly differently and really focus on people's strengths and hear all the perspectives at the table and together find the best solution and path forward, and that's how I had people on board.
So in a word or two, can you describe your leadership style then?
I would say collaborative and consensus building.
Okay, I can see why you're successful in that.
Kind of the opposite of dictatorial and demanding.
So with the employees and the staff, it sounds like you quickly gained their trust. How did you navigate the relationship with the ownership? Because again, you weren't the owner at the point in time, or an owner at that
certainly,
point in time.
Certainly. That was all about communication. I mean, the owners wanted to make sure they didn't have surprises and they knew what was going on. So making sure that I was running a solid business, had all the processes in place and the operations to make sure the accounting, the staffing, everything was going very smoothly, human resources, and making sure that they knew along the way what was going on. So it was over-communicate. That tended to be my perspective, is over-communicate with the ownership, and if I'm telling them too much, they'll let me know.
When you originally came to the business, you did not have ownership. But I know recently you went through a transaction with your management team, and you all have now come into the ownership. Tell us a little bit about, you know, why that was important to you, what it means for the company going forward.
Certainly. There are several aspects to that question, Mike. One of our founding partners was ready to retire, so he needed a way out. Our other partner wanted to stay in the business and grow the company. The management team certainly wanted to be invested more in the business because we truly believed in it and wanted to have an ownership stake. So it was kind of like you mentioned time earlier. The time kind of aligned. So it was a perfect win-win-win. A win for the owner that wanted to stay in, a win for the owner that wanted to retire, and a win for the management team that wanted to be owners. So we orchestrated the management buyout and everything fell into place. And with any business, I think, when you walk in the door as an owner, you have a different perspective, and that has helped ingrain the management team into the business that much more, and it's making it much more successful and smooth.
So you talked about perspective, and I know we talked a little bit about at lunch about the perspective of an employee versus an owner. And in this case, you and your management team, you're very senior employees, but you weren't owners. How do you look at BayFirst differently now that you are an owner? And not merely an employee.
I would say it's like the difference between babysitting and having your own child. It's definitely different. You're committed at a different level. It's not just your success or the company's success. The two are ingrained together. It's part of you. You live and breathe it at that point, and it's critical.
If you were telling another CEO or another person similar situated to you, and they're contemplating ownership, and they had to go through a transaction, what was the good and the bad and the ugly, if there were any?
I would say the number one thing is make sure you have a good attorney that you trust. It can help lead you through it, so thank you, Mike. Otherwise, it's making sure you focus on compromise. That's what I found the name of the game. Everybody has a different perspective, but it's coalescing and being willing to compromise and not hold firm on any particular issue. That's how you get through it and make it successful.
What were there any key challenges or key learnings or things of that nature that you could pass on further?
I think making sure you over-communicate and working things behind the scenes. No offense, but just, you can't just leave it to the attorneys. You have to help push it with the other members that are going to be owners, and relying on the attorneys to make sure they do what they do well. And making sure that someone has the lead and they're helping push it forward.
What is the relationship with Offutt Kerman meant to you and to BayFirst through the recent transaction?
It wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for Offutt Kerman, and I can say that wholeheartedly. It truly would not have. It was a long, arduous process. I think at one point we were dealing with 5 attorneys, 2 banks, I guess 6 constituents, if you will, all with different perspectives. And Offutt Kerman did a good job of helping align the interests and move things forward. And as I mentioned, compromise earlier, it was making sure the compromise took place so that no one party would anchor down on either side for their client and to keep things moving forward. and it made it quite smooth.
Thank you. Very kind of you. So I was looking at your website, Bay First website, and I see that you've won a number of awards. So this is your chance to pump out your chest and tell us a little bit about the successes of Bay First, the recent awards. I see you've had a number of them and so forth.
Yeah, it's really exciting. We're growing in a number of areas. All of our capability areas are kind of growing at the same rate, which is pretty fascinating. Mostly Homeland Security, Department of Homeland Security, but we are venturing out into some other areas of Department of Defense, of FAA, Veterans Affairs. So it's been very, very fun. We see the future is quite bright at Bay First. We've recently redoubled down on our strategic plan. We have five elements that we're focused on, which I won't go into too much detail here, but it really is focused on recompetes, winning new business, and going into new markets, and potentially acquiring other businesses as well.
And I think you're an Inc. 500, 5,000 winner?
Inc. 5,000, okay. Yeah, I think 3 years in a row. Also, Washington Business Journal top 50. I think we're one of two companies to make that 2 years in a row. So,
your company's coming out of the 8A program. You've had a very good success to date. However, where do you see yourself first in 5 years, and where do you see the company in 5 years, if you can open up your crystal ball?
Sure. Well, certainly in 5 years, I certainly hope and plan to still be a partner at Bay First. I would like to stay there until I retire. Where the company will be, if our strategic plan holds, we should be around 500 people. We're at 200 today, so we do expect the growth to continue. Going from a small business to a large business certainly has its hurdles. But so far, we are on a good track record of success for converting the small business things into full and open competitions. We probably will go from being a prime to more of being a subcontractor role. But we're also diversifying our client base and our capability sets at the same time to make sure we're ready for the growth. So yeah, I'm sure it'll be challenging, but I have no reason to think we won't be there.
So let me ask you, any particular mentors or influencers in your life that you can attribute either your entrepreneurial spirit or your business acumen too?
I can't pick just one. There are several people along the way. I've been very fortunate, I think, to have good managers and good leaders. There are nuggets that I've gotten from college professors back in undergrad, and there's nuggets that I've gotten from various managers along the way. I can't pick just one person, but a few of the things that they said is early on, a college professor said, make sure as you climb the ladder, you don't climb too fast. And as you go, make sure you have footing on the ladder so you don't fall off. That was key. He also said, as you're going through a company, if you start to see your mentors and people you respect leaving, take note of that, which is what I did at the larger consulting firm that we talked about earlier and part of my reason for leaving there. Also had one that taught me the value of fun. If it's not fun and you don't have passion for it, find something else to do. Mm-hmm. That's a critical one. And then another one is, I guess my mother probably taught me this, is if you're going to do something, do it well. So whether you're polishing the floors or doing whatever, make sure you're doing it the best.
If you had a piece of advice for a young entrepreneur or a young person, aspiring to a place that you are, what would you tell them?
Truly do your best along the way and make sure you drive your own career. No one else is going to drive it for you, so take the reins and do it yourself. But by all means, do something you're passionate about. That is 100% the key. If you don't love what you're doing, find something else.
This has been CEO Minutes, brought to you by Offit Kerman, attorneys at law, your perfect legal partner. For more information and to tell your entrepreneurial story, visit us on the web at ceominutes.com.